Now a guy who cast many a shadow around these parts as a columnist for the Register Guard, now covering Michigan for The Athletic. On Twitter, use the handle at @ByAustinMeek. Austin, always appreciate the time. How's life for you and the family in Ann Arbor?
Hey, Steve, things are good. I am having flashbacks this week to many a coaching search that I covered in my time in Eugene. So those are always fun, aren't they? I'm sure you guys are having fun with that this week.
Yeah, no speculation. Everybody's being reasonable and rational, as you would expect. You know,
yeah, that's what I remember.
I went back and I read your initial article to Michigan fans with The Athletic, and you talked about how you had no connection, but a diehard Wolverine fan has the 97 depth chart memorized. Their middle name is Bo. And you said something based on principle, they won't read the Scarlet Letter. So, Austin, it took me about 10 minutes. I'm researching Hawthorne before I figured out, oh, Steve, Scarlet, Ohio State, of course. I got to ask you to flash back and tell me some of the fan feedback you got from that piece of July in 2019.
Well, you jogged my memory. One of many things I've written that I don't remember writing. Whoever wrote that, that was pretty good. No, you know, I totally I came in here completely as a novice to the world of Michigan football, and that's, you know, it's a challenge, and I think it's also an advantage. It's similar, actually, to how I came into Eugene. You know, you got to kind of approach it with some curiosity and understand that most of the people who are reading the stories that you write probably know the subject way better than you do. And it took me a while to get up to speed, but you know, I think I got the basics here, which is, number one, they really want to beat Ohio State. That one didn't take me too long to figure out. And as you might imagine, people here have been in a really good mood for the last 2 weeks ever since that game against the Buckeyes.
You know, we spoke after last season, when Jim Harbaugh got the contract extension despite 2-4 during the COVID year. And I asked you about the pulse of the fans, and you gave me the "not great, Bob" quote. And yeah, as you mentioned, they beat Ohio State. They crushed Iowa. They're in the playoffs. So I know this is a reach, but better now?
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Man, I did not think, when we had that conversation a year ago, that we would be talking right now about a Michigan team that won the Big Ten and is headed to the college football playoff. I don't know anybody who predicted that this season. The irony of it is I really think Michigan fans had kind of gotten to the point of acceptance at the point that Jim Harbaugh signed that contract extension. A lot of people were like, you know what, we're going to accept that this is what we are. You know, we're never going to be, we're never going to be the program we want to be. We're never going to, you know, get to the college football playoff. We're not going to beat Ohio State. But, you know, let's just be happy being a team that wins 8 or 9 games every year and goes to the Citrus Bowl. And I felt like a lot of Michigan fans had kind of made their peace with that. And then out of nowhere, this year, comes this Michigan team that has just surprised people week after week after week, and done things that no Michigan team has done since Lloyd Carr was here. It's been a wild ride, and I did not see this coming for sure, which in a way has made it even more fun, because when you don't see it coming, when you don't think there's a chance that it can happen, and then you end up going to the college football playoff, it's been a pretty fun ride for the Michigan fans.
Yeah, well, the preseason media poll had him fourth in the division. So I think also it's important, Austin, to point out Harbaugh didn't just sign a contract and play the same hand. I know it's a cliche, but he really kind of altered the culture, because I think he not only turned over about 60% of the staff, but if I read correctly, there's also been kind of an injection of youth.
Yeah, that was part of the deal with Jim Harbaugh coming back, is everybody understood after that 2-4 season last year that Michigan couldn't just do the same thing over again and hope for a different result. They had to change something. So Jim Harbaugh hired a new defensive coordinator by the name of Mike McDonald from the Baltimore Ravens. He brought in a bunch of young coaches to fill out his staff. Most of the staff now is under the age of 40. Changed some things with recruiting. You know, really, I felt like Michigan changed about as much as you can change in one offseason without hiring a new head coach. And my question was, can you make all those changes and expect that you're going to see results from that right away? I guess the answer is yes. I didn't expect it. But really, from day one, it's just been a completely different atmosphere around this team this season, a completely different vibe. And that's really what they needed, because the program was not in a very good place at the end of last season, and they really turned things around in a hurry.
You know, one thing that didn't change, ironically, was the offensive coordinator, who Josh Gattis, who just won the Broyles Award, and, you know, he had been at Alabama, and this year, my goodness, they finished top 15 in points. Their last three games, 42, 42, 59, they only turned it over 9 times. So just what about the just incredible upgrade on that side of the ball this year?
Yeah, I mean, going into this year, like you said, Josh Gattis was sort of the one guy on that staff who did come back, and he was kind of on the hot seat. I mean, there were a lot of fans who felt like, look, it had been 3 years now since Josh Gattis came in from Alabama, and when he got here, the idea was that he was just going to transform this offense, and Michigan was going to go from being a team that really was kind of behind the times offensively to be in this team that was just going to score a bunch of points and be really explosive. And it didn't really happen the first 2 years for Josh Gattis. And you know, there were some people who were ready to see him go. And then this year, you know, I feel like what happened is Michigan went back to some of the stuff that Jim Harbaugh has always done. They're kind of his core philosophies in terms of running the ball, having a commitment to a physical smash-mouth running game. But then they also were able to incorporate some of the stuff that Josh Gattis brought in, you know, in terms of getting the ball out in space, using the playmakers more, you know, getting your best athletes in matchups where they can make a play. That's really what Josh Gattis does well. And Michigan was able to blend those two things together in a way that really worked. And, you know, we hadn't seen that before in Josh Gattis' first 2 years, but really the blend of this offense was really good. And it starts with the run game, the offensive line, Hassan Haskins, a great running back, and Cade McNamara, the quarterback, who, you know, is definitely not the flashiest quarterback in the country.
Nope.
Doesn't put up huge numbers, but has really done a nice job.
Talking Michigan football with Austin Meek of The Athletic. You were here when Marcus won the Heisman. They have a finalist now on the defense, Aiden Hutchinson, the rarity. I guess Michigan had a finalist in Jabril Peppers 5 years ago. But, you know, you get to watch a guy like that game in, game out. Austin, just how much of a force is that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky as somebody who was able to watch every single snap that he played this year. And if you did watch Aiden Hutchinson that way, I don't think there's any way that you could have left him off your Heisman ballot because he was the most impactful player that I saw this year in college football. And, you know, granted, I didn't see everybody. I didn't watch the SEC that close, but watching Michigan every game, you know, there was not a single play, hardly a single play that he was on the field that he didn't affect the play in some way. It didn't always end in a sack or a tackle, but if the quarterback drops back and he's on the field, the quarterback felt his presence. And beyond that, you know, I would say about Aiden is that, you know, when you talk about the change in the atmosphere around the program and the culture or whatever words you want to use for that, he really was the driving force behind that. You know, he could have gone to the NFL. He had a decision to make last winter. He'd broken his ankle in the third game of the season last year. He decided, look, I'm going to come back. He could have been probably a first-round pick, but he wanted to come back and try to lead the program in a better place. And I really think he is the guy on the team in the locker room that really drove that transformation. So great player, one of the best college players I think I've ever been around.
Oh no! Sometimes I watch the games. I'm like, how many 97s could one team have?
yeah.
You know, one overall thought on the defense. Josh Ross, Daxton Hill. You know, a lot of their big guns have been there 3, 4, 5 years, and then you have Junior Colson, who was a big recruit out of Tennessee, a freshman. What about that young guy among all those vets and great players making the kind of impact he did?
Yeah, he had a really nice year. He ended up making, I think, the second team all-freshman All-America team that we did at the Athletic, and I think he was deserving of that. Michigan has a few young guys on that defense that really made some plays this year. They've got another one, Rod Moore, who's a safety, who really came on strong at the end of the year, too. So, you know, it's a nice blend. I think, really, the foundation of the team was the veteran guys, Aiden Hutchinson, Daxton Hill, Josh Ross, the middle linebacker, who's a fifth-year senior. So those guys really sort of laid the foundation. But then they've had a couple nice recruiting classes and some young players who have come in just in the last couple of years and have been able to find roles. So it's a nice blend of experienced players and also some young, talented players.
And the last thing, so in a little over 3 weeks, you get to leave balmy Ann Arbor for the tropical climes of Miami. I know we love topics to talk about and write about, and I know the odds makers say Georgia by a touchdown, but man, Kirby Smart, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, Georgia, SEC, Big Ten. Austin, you got to be pretty stoked and excited about witnessing this one.
Yeah, man, it's I feel like it's a national championship caliber matchup that's going to be played in the semifinals, and the storylines are, take your pick. I mean, there's some really compelling ones. I think starting with the two coaches, Jim Harbaugh's been the coach the last 7 years who's had to wear that label of not being able to beat his rival and win the big game, and this year he finally did it, and now he's in the playoff. And now it's Kirby Smart who's got to wear that as the coach who's had great teams but has not been able to get past Alabama. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Georgia in this game as the team that's been ranked number one a lot of the season, the team that was favored to win it all. And then they go out against Alabama, kind of fall apart. And they got to put it back together now over the next month and try to make a run at it. And for Michigan, this Michigan team is just really all season. They've really just played loose. The Michigan teams of the past here, I think, have felt a lot of pressure. You can sense that, but this team really doesn't. It's a really loose team. They just go out there and do their thing, and I think they're going to do that in this game, too.
No, that's the game I can't wait for of all the postseason matchups. Folks, he's Austin Meek. It's been just over 2 years since he abandoned my show, but my recovery is coming along well. You can catch his work for The Atlantic. Subscribe, support quality journalism. On Twitter, follow along at @ByAustinMeek. Austin, it really is always great catching up. Wishing you and your family all the best this holiday season. Enjoy South Beach, and of course, look forward to talking again down the road.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to catch up. I will say hello to Mario Cristobal when I am in Miami, and I will talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Austin. Have a good one.